Let's pray together. Our living Father God, who created all the universe, you're ruling over this world, and you rule all the blessings of our lives. We were living without any hope, but you call us, made us your children, and give us glory that will never vanish. For all this grace, we are thankful. And I also pray that you put us in your bodily church and teach and guide us with your words. And also, you've given us Holy Spirit inside of us, and you put King inside of us, and we all grow through Holy Spirit, and for that we are thankful. And you've given us this great mission of preaching the gospel to all over the world. With this great mission, whether we have chance or not, we'll be royal to this mission, and we're thankful for this opportunity. And this is 2020, January, and a couple of weeks has passed already. So, until the end, we pray that we work hard on this great work. And I pray that everywhere your gospel is preached, we pray that your boundary will be expanded. We now live in this end of age. We are the last runner of preaching the gospel. And we're thankful for saving us, giving us salvation at this time. There are so many lost souls around us. But while you were on the cross, you had compassion on all of us, all the sinners. And I pray that we all have the hearts of Jesus, and we preach the gospel with bold heart and reveal your glory. And I also pray for brothers and sisters who are gathered here this time. We pray before you. We made promises before you, and we made determination before you. So through our lives, we hope to accomplish all the promises we made with you. And we hope that you use us doing that, and you fill us with grateful heart and blessings. And Father God, I pray for brothers and sisters who are ill and who have fallen. Hold them with your words and make them stand up again and make them run and make them fly like an eagle. And help them move forward in their Christian lives. I also pray that brothers and sisters overcome their sinful flesh and overcome all the tests. I ask all these prayers in Jesus, Holy Spirit who leads us. And I also pray that you help us understand the wisdom you want to teach us and obey to your words and bear fruits to glorify your name. I ask all this name in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's read the Bible. Psalms 23. Let's take a turn and read the Bible. Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Restores my soul, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. And our choir will sing. Thanks for the choir. Let's turn our Bible to New Testament, Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. From verse 23. To 29. I'm going to go ahead and read them for you. 11:23 to 29. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. Reread until verse 29. Good morning. It goes without saying, but Happy New Year. May God's bless be with you. And to receive blessing, you must be qualified, especially born-again Christians. Have done nothing to receive a blessing, but there's a reason why God calls us. God calls us to make us His people, to do His holy work. So now, as a born-again Christians, there are some things we need to do. God gives blessings. I'm not talking about blessings that will perish soon in this world. I'm talking about true valuable things which will dwell in heaven. So after being born again for the rest of our lives, we must behave in a way that we please God and get God's blessings. So at the winter retreat, we listen to precious words, a very condensed schedule. And also, you read the Bible, you pray to God by yourself. As some of you probably had time of reflection, time of promises, time of revelations, and I'm sure you are keeping all your promises with God. So you made all these revelations with good intention. So to make those revelations possible, what do we need to do? Can you keep all your promises with your zeal, with your passion? That's not enough. You can keep promises with God with faith. So today we are going to learn about Hebrews chapter 11. And the topic of this chapter is faith, the chapter of faith. And this chapter deals with many faithful born-again ancestors, born-again Christians. So these role model Christians fought against every day with temptations for their faith. So the author, the writer of this chapter was inspired by God. And the Bible, why was Bible written? It is to give us lessons, to give us teachings. So amongst all these ancestral Christians, today we are specifically talk about the faith of Moses. And verse 26 talks about the faith of Moses. What does it say? 26. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. The reproach of Christ. Can we imagine what Moses had to go through, the sufferings and humiliations? It was all for Christ. That's what the Bible says. Moses lived before Jesus was born. Moses foresaw the Jesus who would die on the cross to atone all our sins forever. So the Moses' life is sort of like a shadow, shadow of Jesus' suffering. What about us? You know, Jesus was born 2,000 years ago. He suffered, he died, resurrected, and taken to the heaven. And all these works of Jesus showed us, we know, we can read and saw what Jesus has done. And why did Jesus set out an example for all of us? So that we may follow his suit, we may follow his footsteps. And Jesus went through all these sufferings so that we may suffer for Jesus too. And Jesus washed the feet of disciples. Why? So that Jesus was showing an example so that we can wash the feet of other brothers and sisters. So all these afflictions and reproach in this world is an act of following Jesus. Jesus said, bear your own cross and deny yourself and follow me. Then if you don't do that, you cannot become my disciple. From the moment we are born again, we follow Jesus as his disciple. What about Moses? Even before Jesus was born, Moses lived. Moses followed the life of Jesus. So we... we saw the shadows of Jesus in the Old Testament, and the shadow has become real through Jesus. And now we have this special privilege of take account of those examples. We can learn from these faithful Christians and Jesus. So you all made New Year's resolution beginning of this year. So through obedience and passion and bear fruit and give glory to God, we can do them from learning this chapter today. So this chapter talks about Moses. Moses' parents were not afraid of the Pharaoh, the king. The king declared the sons, the newly born sons, will get killed. Kill all the newborn babies. But Moses' parents didn't obey. In the ancient times, the king had very strong authority. Whatever the king says becomes law. So anyone who disobeyed to the king's order, they die. But the parents of Moses, they did not follow the king's decree. When Moses was born, the baby didn't have a name. Anyhow, the mother hid the baby for 3 months. So she feared God more than the king Pharaoh. It's same for us too. Do not look left or right. Always look up to the heaven. Don't be afraid of people. Treat God as if he's visible. I know he's invisible, but think of him as visible God, the king. Every day you should be a disciple who fears the Lord, who follows his will. So you can now look at the faith of Moses' parents, that they are not afraid of this scary king. And the Moses had a chance to become the king. He mastered the knowledge and academics of Egypt. He had potential. He was one of the candidates of becoming a king. But the Moses gave up everything. So he enjoyed the reproach for Christ more. And Moses was able to do all this not by his passion, not just by his zeal. He did all that through faith. So through the life of Moses, just like Moses and Jesus Christ, we can live a life with victory as men of God. So to accomplish Jesus' plan and will, Moses is a model of Jesus. He went through all these sufferings, just like Jesus. It was like a foreshadow. Through the life of Moses, God reveals what life of Jesus will be. Let me show you some examples. Nazareth, Joseph, and Maria were biological parents. Maria was the biological mother of Jesus. They were common people. They're not wealthy family or powerful family. They're both normal. And in the early age of both Jesus and Moses, they're both, when they were infants, when they were newly born, they were both threatened to be killed. The king Herod killed all the new infants, newly born babies. So the family of Jesus fled to Egypt. So after the Herod king died, the Jesus' family were able to come back to his hometown. And he lived there until the age of 33. And Moses too. The king Pharaoh said, kill all the newborn sons, newborn boys. Why did the king Pharaoh give this terrible decree? There's a difference between the environment where Moses lived and Jesus lived. When Israelite first moved to Egypt, they were not servants. They received a lot of advantages. But after 30 years, they became slaves. The Shem. When Israelite first went to Egypt, the king was actually a descendant of Israel. It was a descendant of Shem. So that's why the king treated the people of Israel really well in the beginning. But later, the king Hyksos was the descendant of Ham. So they were irrelevant. The new king of Egypt was irrelevant to Israel. That's why the new king made Israel slaves. And the new king, the Hyksos, the new king was what they fear, the Israel. They were the new king was afraid that what if Israel take over this country again? What if they go on a rebel and take over the king? So Exodus 1. The king gave an order to the midwives of Israel. So kill all the firstborns. So the king of Egypt spoke to Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Shephera and the name of the other Puah. But then the midwives disobey to the king's order. They fear God more than the king. So the king found out that the midwives were not following the order. So the king ordered the midwives. The midwives gave him a very wise answer. She said, "Oh, Israelite women give birth to babies so quickly, so fast. Even before I get there, it's after they give a birth." And God gave these midwives great blessings. And 1:22, the king Pharaoh ordered soldiers to kill all the newborn babies and drown the babies into the Nile River. Let's turn to Hebrews 1. I'm sorry, Exodus 1. So Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, "Every son who is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive." It says, so Pharaoh commanded all his people. To every Egyptian, their king gave them a command, not only to Egyptians, but to Israelites too. Every son who is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. So the Jews are supposed to kill their own babies. They hear baby crying, and the soldiers take away the babies and put them into the river. And if the parents get caught not killing their own baby, the life was in danger too. I'm sure many Jews gave birth to sons and kill them, drown them. But the parents of Moses, they heed their own son. Isn't that faith amazing? They were not afraid of losing their life. They're not afraid of the king. They fear the Lord more. Through faith, Moses' parents follow God. This is the very first king who thought he could have wiped out Israel. Who gave him this heart? The wicked, evil Satan. Mentioned in Genesis, the descendant of woman will harm the snake. This is the promise. So that Satan wanted to prevent that there will be no more descendant from Israel. So, you know, Satan thought that if he kill all the Jews, wipe them out, then there'll be no more descendant. So Satan thought he could prevent all the God's plans to come true. So he's the very first king, the Pharaoh, who tried to eliminate genocide, Israel. But his plan failed miserably. Exodus chapter 2, 23. 23, let's read it together. Now it happened in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. Then the children of Israel groaned because of the bondage, and they cried out. The cry came up to God because of the bondage. So, the king of Egypt died. The king who killed all the newborn babies died too. And after that, there's another king who tried to kill Moses died too. All the kings who tried to remove Israel. In the Bible, there are several people who tried to kill Israel. Persian king. You know, throughout the Bible, there are many kings who try to destroy the kingdom of Israel, but it all failed. And eventually, Jesus was born by the descendant of woman in Bethlehem. And eventually, Jesus and to prevent accomplishing God's plan, Satan used Herod to kill all the newborn babies. And what about Hitler? Hitler too tried to kill all the Israel. Israel was supposed to restore their nation as promised in the Bible. But Hitler tried to prevent that. He killed so many Israel. And what about now? The Jews were able to overcome the genocide, and now they restore their nation. They're so powerful now that they control the United States, the strongest nation. This all happened according to God's plan. And it happens to us too. We are born again Christians. We are promised children of God. No matter how difficult our lives are, no matter how harsh the afflictions are, and how it doesn't matter how strong the devil's tricks and temptations are, God continues to protect us. He's a protector of our lives. Just as God protects Israel, He protects born-again Christians in this world. Until we transform in a glorious being, God constantly guides us. He's faithful. He's a helper. He's powerful. He's omnipotent. He leads my day, every day. So through God, we can overcome everything. So the parents of Moses, where did their faith come from? The parents of Moses did not fear the king Pharaoh. And their son too. So Moses fled from Egypt. He didn't fear the king. Moses' parents didn't fear the king, and son didn't fear the king either. What does it mean? They fear God more. They fear the power of God. You may have a lot of concerns living in this world. And it doesn't matter what you fear for. You can overcome this fear by believing in God. Through what faith? Through faith of the Moses parents and Moses. As we did recital today, they probably recital the words of God every day. There were not any Bible in this world. They probably recital the promises made with their ancestors. You know, the two ancestors of Moses, ancestors of Jews, God made many, many promises. Let's turn to Genesis 15. From 13. Then he said to Abraham, "Now certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs. I will serve them, and they will afflict them 400 years. And also the nation whom they serve I will judge. Afterward they shall come out with great possessions. Now as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried at a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall return here. The iniquity of Amorites is not yet complete." Moses' parents and their son probably meditate on this promise, recited this promise day and night. And this gave them endurance and patience of being a slave. And Moses was born, so they didn't fear the Pharaoh. They hid their son. So this newborn baby Moses, is the generation of Moses, was the fourth generation. 24-25. Let's read them together. "And Joseph said to his brethren, 'I am dying, but God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land to the land of which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob.' Then Joseph took an oath from the children of Israel, saying, 'God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here.'" So before Joseph died, he left a will, or he made his children promise. Joseph said, do not leave my bones here. Carry up my bones from here and take my bones to the land of promise. And I'm sure Joseph's descendants didn't forget this oath. So when Jews were escaping from Egypt, they took the bones of Joseph with them. For 400 years, they served the king Pharaoh. But in the end, they were able to take all these treasures with them. And that was the promise of God. That was the words of God. Faith comes from hearing. Hearing comes from the words of God. It says in Romans. So the Moses parents were not afraid of the king. Where did that faith come from? It came from the words of God. Likewise, to overcome this world. It doesn't matter how strong will you are. It doesn't matter how passionate you are. You overcome the difficulties through the promises, through holding the promises of words of God. It shall be your light. Shall be your path. So living in on this world, You overcome yourself, the devil, and the world. This is the secret. This is the only way. And it should be the faith you should be holding on to. So all these ancestors of faith did everything in faith, repeatedly mentions. Likewise, living in this world, the wisdom of the world, your experience, your emotion? No. Only through holding on to the words of God, we can win. And next, they kept their Moses' parents kept their son hiding. Hebrews 13. Six. Let's read it together. So we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper; I will not fear. What can man do to me?" So Moses' parents had this faith. I know the king had absolute power, but I'm not going to obey him. This is the faith. This is the promise. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can men do to me? Let's turn to Psalms 56. Psalms 56. Verse 4. In God, I'll praise His word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? What can flesh do to me? You are made from dust. There are people who have power, who have authority, but do not fear man. When Israel first stepped into the land of Canaan, they were afraid of Canaanites. So Joshua tried to walk into the land, and this angel appeared, and he said, "Do not step on this land. This is a holy land." So the angel said, the commander of the Lord appeared, and he said, "Do not depend on your own wisdom or your strategy. Depend on what Moses told you. Depend on the commandments of God." So what did Joshua do? He circled the Jericho seven times, and the castle fell down. So this story teaches us a lesson. There can be walls like Jericho. The walls can be metaphorical. It could be a metaphor. So the wall of Jericho could be people, a human. It's difficult to talk to them. But what does God say? Do not be afraid. But God says they're only flesh. Moses was born in a normal family. A common family. And the parents too were very common people. At that time, the kings had stronger authority than the president these days. They had right to kill people. What about God? He has more power. He has more authority. So, God Moses believed, and God we believe are the same God. So don't be afraid of anything. Psalms 118. 6. Let's read it together. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The people of God, the born-again Christians, children of God, should depend on this word. There's nothing, there's absolutely nothing we should be afraid of. There's only one God whom we shall fear. And be afraid of God who can destroy your soul into unquenchable fire, not the ones who can just destroy your flesh. Let's go back to Hebrews 11. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. So he grew up, and this boy grew up, and he didn't want to get caught. And of course, Moses wasn't really afraid, but God gave Moses' parents a thought. So the command was, kill the baby as soon as he was born. But the parents didn't do that, so the boy grew up, and they were about to get caught. So they prayed to God. Parents prayed to God. Oh God, tell me a way to rescue this son. Nile River at that time was symbol of God. Only the king and his family and cousins were able to clean their body in the Nile River. So the princess, daughter of Pharaoh, went to the Nile River to take a shower. And the Jews knew about that. They knew the traditions of Egypt. So the mother had an idea. Oh, what if I put the baby on a basket and the princess finds this baby, and probably she will raise my son. I'm sure God gave her this idea. So Moses' mother, real mother, made a basket using papyrus leaves and cover it with a blanket, cover the lid, and put on the Nile River. And she did that by faith. What if there's wind blowing and basket turned upside down? What if the princess didn't come at the time and basket just turned upside down before it reaches to the prince? There were lots of crocodiles. And what if the crocodiles reach the basket and eat the boy up? But Moses' mother had a belief, she had a faith, that the God made them a promise that one day their people will be escaped from this land of Egypt. And my son will be able to go to the promised land, the land of Canaan. She had this belief in her heart. So through the faith, she floated the basket. And at that exact moment, the princess came by the river with her maids. She found the basket. She opened it, saw the baby, and Moses started crying at that exact moment. What a coincidence, huh? The baby mourned and cried and cried. So the princess had compassion on him. Oh, what a poor baby. And looking at the basket, looking at the decorations on this blanket, it's probably a son of Jews. And she knew that the king ordered all the first sons, all the newborn sons. So she guessed, oh, so this poor family wanted to save this baby. That's why they put this baby in the basket and floated on the river. And the baby was so just an infant, still needed breastfeed. So the princess saw the Miriam, the sister of Moses, and Miriam introduced her mother, who was Moses' biological mother. So she gave him breastfeeding. It says here, by faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. So Moses became qualified to become the prince of Egypt. So the Moses' stepmother is mentioned in history. And this princess was the only daughter of the king Pharaoh. So this princess, through the Moses, Thutmosis was able to become the queen of Egypt, but she didn't want to be the queen, so she let her husband to become the king, and she was very lonely, didn't have any kids. That's why she adopted this Moses and thought he would become the king, the next king. And anyhow, the Moses grew up, he became a young adult, and he was walking outside, and he saw his own people, Jews, being afflicted by Egyptians. In his heart, Moses knew that he was the Jew. And where did Moses learn that from? His real mother, his biological mother, constantly taught him about his genealogy, about his own people, the blood of Abraham, the blood of Isaac, Jacob. As a baby, as a young baby, his mother gave him teachings of his own people. Personality characteristics form in the age of 3, continues until he grows up. So 80% of his personality and characteristics is formed in the age of 3. So all this all this teachings of God bestowed onto Moses lasted in Moses' brain, Moses' characteristics. And if you think about it, Moses was living in such a luxurious life. He has so much privileges as a prince. He was able to enjoy all the special advantages. He was able to become the king of Egypt. But he gave up all on that. He weighed between whether he will become the prince and live luxurious life as the king, or he will suffer afflictions with the people of God. He put it on the measurement, and he concluded that the suffering with people of God is more valuable. So Moses didn't put much value on the things that are perishable. No, he put more value on invisible things, imperishable things, heavenly things. He weighed between the two. He gave up the treasures of this world. So he made up his mind. He witnessed his own people was afflicted, was chastised by the officer of Egypt, and he stoned the officer of Egypt, and he hid the corpse in the sand. He buried the corpse under the sand. And do you know what Moses do? Did he look up or look sideways? You don't know? Let's find it out. Exodus 2:12. Exodus 2:12. Now it came to pass in those days, when Moses was grown, that he went out to his brethren and looked at their burdens. And he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. 12. So he looked this way and that way, and when he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. Where did Moses look? He looked this way and that way. But this wasn't God's intention. He was supposed to let God punish enemy. But Moses loved his people. He loved Hebrews. My own people is being chastised. They were slaves for so many years. I'm going to let them free. And Moses thought it was possible because he was about to become the king. But I learned the teachings of God. All these words I recited, the promises made to Abraham. Then after 4 generations, my people will escape from this land with treasure and go back to the land of promised land where there is honey. And there must be a leader who can lead my people. And probably God will appoint me, Moses thought. But it wasn't the time yet. And Moses had passion, zeal, love for his people. But it was passion, humanly passion. God never uses who are strong in their human's will. God uses the weak. He uses the unwise and shame the wise people. He used weak to shame the strong. It doesn't matter how smart, how intelligible, how wise people are. It's incomparable to God's wisdom and God's power. And Moses believed in promise of God, but he only relied his own way. For 40 years in the kingdom of Egypt, he learned many worldly things, but he didn't have proper knowledge of God. So Hebrews were fighting with each other. The one who was beating said, "Oh, now you are our judge now." 2:13. And when he went out the second day, behold, two Hebrew men were fighting. And he said to the one who did the wrong, "Why are you striking your companion?" Then he said, "Who made you a prince and a judge over us? Do you intend to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?" So Moses feared and said, "Surely this thing is known." When Pharaoh heard of this matter, he sought to kill Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian. And he sat down by a well. Yesterday you killed an officer of Egypt, and now you're going to kill me? The Moses trained to become a king. He went through military training and academics of Egypt. So first, Moses tried to calm them down. Don't kill your people. But they say, "You are now our judge. Do you intend to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?" So first, Moses tried to talk them out, but later they didn't listen. So Moses tried to use force. And that's probably why this Hebrew said such a thing. So Thutmose's second and the third was not the son of the prince. So Thutmose III is the king. And perhaps the prince wanted to make her stepson the king. So they are Thutmose III and Moses were rivals for the kingship. And this king, the Pharaoh, Thutmose III, knew that the prince loved Moses more than him. So the king was looking for reasons to kill Moses. And now, Moses gave him the reason. He killed fellow Egyptian. I mean, think about it. Moses was prince. He was one of the candidates to become the king. So just kill an Egyptian, would that be proper reason to kill Moses? Probably not. But like I said, Thutmose was looking for a reason to kill Moses. That's why. That's why it happened. And Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh. And God made him to do so. God made Moses fled from face of Pharaoh because the trainings he got from Egypt was not enough to save Israel. And after fleeing, Moses became the shepherd. You know, Joseph, long time ago, Joseph told his brothers that Egyptians despise shepherds. So it was true at the time Egyptians despised the shepherd. It was a frowned upon job. So the Moses, after fleeing, became a shepherd. And in a way, Moses volunteered for it. Moses was willing to go through the afflictions for his people. So when Moses determined to help his people, God put him in the land of Midian. So in this land, Moses received training from God. And Moses appeared. God showed Moses ashes, burning ashes, and God spoke to Moses directly. You will save my people. But Moses made an excuse. I can't go. I'm not good at speaking. But 40 years ago, Moses was confident. He was bold. I'm going to save my people. But after he fled to the Midian, he realized he became so humble that he couldn't do anything by himself. So now everything that will be done by Moses, he will know that everything would only be possible through God. So using Moses, God saved his people. Let's go back to Hebrews 11. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. So choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. So Moses now made a confession. I can't do this by myself. But through that humble Moses, God revealed his power. And he did amazing things. Moses did amazing miracles. So Moses and his people were only the shadow of all the born-again Christians that will receive salvation through the blood of Jesus. So now, what shall I choose and reject? Moses' parents disobeyed to the command of the king Pharaoh. They follow God. Moses too rejected to be called as the prince of Egypt. He rather suffer with his people. We now live this world and we face with decisions. We must choose right. Are you going to choose the path that leads to the way of God? Choose the path that will never perish, last forever. Not the things of the flesh, but things of the spirit. Follow things that will never perish, that will last forever. And devote your life for those things. Oh, love God who atoned all my sins more than anyone, more than anything, and choose only Jesus. You make such determination, you can make rejections. You can give up pleasures, fame, things that will perish. Only when you can say no to those things, you can make right decision. For the rest of your life, where will you invest your life in? Where will you devote your life in? And you have to make a decision now. 2020, it's only January. I know you made many New Year's resolutions and you said, this is the life I'm going to live for God. What kind of promises did you make? And are you keep following them according to the plans. Are you defending yourselves from the devil, these sinful desires? They're trying to make you stumble, make you fall. But as long as you make the right decision, you can say no to them. And that's what Moses did. Twenty-six, 11:26. Let's read it together. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Reproach of Christ. As I mentioned earlier, the afflictions of Moses was the foreshadow of affliction of Jesus Christ. There's a life-threatening event when both Moses and Jesus was first born. And Moses and Jesus both tried to save his own people. Both of them expressed their love toward his own people. But Hebrews never accepted Moses as their leader. And we all know that Moses was leading his people. The people complained so much. They were like, are you trying to kill us in this desert? There's only manna, not enough food. There's no water. I'm dying out of thirst. Let's go back to the land of Egypt. They miss Egypt. They wanted to go back. And so many Hebrews fought against Moses. Likewise, Jesus was born in Israel. Jesus told his people, confess, repent. But his own people rejected Jesus. There's so many similarities between Jesus and Moses. Why? Moses was the foreshadow of Jesus. So the life of Moses and all the afflictions he had was a model, was a foreshadow of Jesus. And through reading about Jesus' affliction, now we can follow his afflictions. Matthew 5. I'm sorry, Matthew 16:24. 16:24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. If anyone desires to come after me, we are now the disciples of Jesus. We ought to follow Jesus. But what do we need to do first? We bear our own cross. What does cross mean? It means rejecting yourself. Kill all your desires. And disciples are saying, Apostle Paul, he carried his own cross. What does it represent? For some people say, oh, my daughter is my cross. My husband is my cross. Don't say such thing. My cross means killing myself on the cross. Apostle Paul did what? 1 Corinthians 15:31. There's one thing I can be proud of. Apostle Paul did so many things for Jesus. He was born. He was descendant of the tribe of Benjamin. He received circumcision. He was an academic, well-trained, educated. And no, he found no faults according to the commandments. He was very, very passionate. He was so many things to brag about. But he considered them garbage, because he valued the knowledge of Jesus more than anything of this world. Why? So that he can gain Jesus. That's the reward. So he decided to suffer the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. So now, Apostle Paul denied himself. He gave up himself. He let Jesus use him. Through him, through me, through you, Jesus will bear his own fruit. There's only one condition though. You must follow his commandment. You must follow Jesus. It's not about you. It's about Jesus using you. An Apostle Paul bearing cross, and he said, there's one thing I can brag. I die, I kill myself every day. I affirm by the boasting in you, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, die daily. And Moses did exactly the same attitude. In the land of Midian, he trained for 40 years, became so humble. He said, I can't go. I can't do it. I'm not affluent. I'm not eloquent. How dare I can lead my people? What does God say? I'll be with you. So holding on to such promise, holding the promise that the God will be with Moses, he go to Egypt using one staff to as a shepherd and led his own people. Moses didn't become the leader when he was strong, when he was the prince. Moses became the leader when he was weak, vulnerable. So through vulnerability, God uses Moses. What about you? What hopes and promises did you make with God? It's not about your passion or your talent. It's through the faith. Through faith, 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 faith. This book deals with faith, the word faith, so many times. Faith by whom? By Jesus Christ, by our Lord. Through believing in him. So we must let God work through us. And 13, Hebrews 13. Chapter 13, verse 13. Let's read it together. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. What does reproach mean? Roman soldiers spat on Jesus' face, and Jesus was reproached, beaten outside. So just as Jesus went through all that, let us go forth to him, to Jesus, outside the camp, bearing what Jesus had to go through. Just as Jesus died on the cross, and I die with Jesus too. All my flesh desires, everything died on the cross. But my sinful nature still inside. Our lust, our sinful desire, every day we need to kill them. Daily I die. And that's the suffering. That's the way of following Jesus. And this is the mission. This is the task Jesus gave us. The cross is the evidence of our salvation. And He went through all the sufferings for us. And to preach this gospel, this news to others, they're bound to be sacrifices. And such sacrifices are bestowed onto us, not to angels. And we know, we think that, oh, angels might do a better job. No, God gave it to us. This big secret, this is our obligation. And God wants to see how we do His work. And to preach the gospel, it's not easy. It's very difficult. To give birth to a newborn baby, there's so much suffering. Likewise, we, firstborn Christians, must go through pain of labor. So we must fulfill the suffering of Jesus Christ, the pain of labor. Let's turn to Colossians 1:24. Colossians 1:24. Let's read it together. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of His body, which is the church. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and afflictions of Christ for the sake of His body, which is the church. Fill up in the flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ. This verse is not referring that Jesus Christ didn't receive enough affliction. No. Jesus' blood atoned all your sin, all the world's sin. And this blood must be covering your conscience too. In the old times, there was a tabernacle, and at the time, the blood of lamb must be sprayed all over the temple. And Jesus was like that. Jesus was a burnt offering, sacrificial offering. And to accept that offering, the blood of Jesus must be sprayed, must be covering your heart. And to do so, there must be a sacrifice. And to preach this blood requires sacrifice. Whose sacrifice? Not Jesus. He did His own share of sacrifice. It's your sacrifice. So you ought to say, "Here I am, God. Send me in." God doesn't want to force you to do it. He take pleasure with people who have volunteering heart. So this year, 2020, this is the attitude you must have. Volunteer yourself to God. Moses volunteered. He gave up position as the prince. And he was willing. He decided to go through sufferings for his own people, to look for the reward. And when you take pleasure doing the work of God, the afflictions of God, He will give you the treasure that will last forever. So rejoice in afflictions. in Matthew 5. Bless those who are in despair, who cries, those who are looking for mercy, generosity, who are clean in their hearts. They will see God. Bless those who reconcile. There will be blessings of God awaiting. And bless those who go through afflictions. Heaven will be given to them. There are 8 blessings. The very first one, the reward will be heaven. The last blessing, too, heaven. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteous sake. Blessed those who are afflicted for the good news, for the gospel. There's affliction, sufferings. Rejoice in them. Let's find one more verse. Let's go to Matthew 5. Matthew 5. Verse 10. 10 to 12. 5, 10 to 12. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So if you are being persecuted for the gospel for Jesus Christ, of course it may be difficult. Maybe you are in despair, but it says in the Bible here, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Exceedingly glad. Dance. Jump. There will be reward for you. Look at all those prophets. They went through all these sufferings too. All these believers, former Christians, never had an easy life. They all enjoyed afflictions. They not only believe in their heart, but they put their lessons and teachings into their lives. They show their belief into action. Moses did it. Jesus did it. The sufferings on the cross. That's the basis of our faith. But to preach this good news, to preach this blood, we must. It's our duty to do so. So 2020, through our church, through all of us, individuals, our families, I hope that we rejoice in sufferings and there will be pain of labor, I know, but I hope many souls will be born through you and bear fruits. Time has come. The end is near. And I hope you don't have to regret before God. Oh, if the reward is this big, I must have lived better. I hope you don't have these regrets, our Heavenly Father God, who is merciful. You redeem us with your precious blood on the cross. You gave us this love so that we may be able to preach this love to others. You gave us this great mission. Today, we learn lessons from the life of Moses. He gave up, he rejected being called as Prince of Egypt and decided to suffer for his own people. We too give up the privileges of this world, comfortable life, and materialistic things, and perishable things. And help us hold on to more valuable heavenly things, rewards. There are so many non-born again people around us who are calling for salvation. I pray that you give us power and wisdom to preach your words. And I pray that we bear many fruits so that your name be glorified and be thankful this year. Ask all these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn our hymn to 392.